got the cable news blues? Try Rational Radio, The Rick Unger Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Unger Show. As I keep reminding you that there is other news happening in the world, although we've been captivated by the horrible events of this past weekend. One such item that we must discuss, I don't think it gets to be any more important than this. Did you know that last Friday, the longtime INF treaty, this is the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty that has existed between the United States and Russia since 1987, when it was negotiated and signed by President Ronald Reagan and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. Well, that treaty came to an end. And that raises some extraordinary questions about where it leaves us. Well, luckily, we got somebody to answer those questions. We're joined by Alexandra Bell. Alexandra is, she goes by Alex, I know, is the Senior Policy Director at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Alex, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I view this as an awfully important subject, and I don't think it's gotten the coverage it should be getting, considering what's at stake here. So let's start it this way. I just told everybody that the treaty has ended. Why has this treaty ended after all these years?
So unfortunately, the Russian Federation decided to produce, test and deploy an intermediate range missile that was in violation of the treaty. Now, we've been working this problem with the Russians, for over 5 years. And try as the United States might, we couldn't get the Russians first to even admit that this missile existed, and then second to admit it was a problem. The Obama administration, of which I was a part, worked very hard on this and just kept hitting a wall. The Trump administration, unfortunately, after rolling out a quite reasonable plan to try to get the Russians back into compliance with this treaty, basically abandoned that plan, never actually, you know, sort of implemented any of the steps. And when Ambassador John Bolton came in, it was pretty clear they didn't have any interest in trying to save the treaty. So unfortunately, the president last fall announced rather casually on the sidelines of a political rally that we would drop out of this historic Reagan-era treaty. And basically after that, despite what our allies in Europe and experts here were trying to do to save the treaty, to find some way forward, sort of Washington and Moscow just let it collapse.
So to sum all that up, I think it'd be fair for me to say they were cheating, yeah?
Oh, the Russians absolutely were cheating.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the important thing to remember here is the Russians, for whatever reason, have decided that this one particular missile was more important to them than
the treaty.
The treaty.
But now the Russians will say that we're cheating too. Now you sound like you're in a position to know. Have we also been cheating on this treaty?
We have not been cheating on this treaty. The Russians have some concerns about some missile defense installations that we have in Romania. I think their concerns are overblown, and I think they were things that we could do. And here's where the Trump administration really failed. We did not exhaust our diplomatic options. There were things that we could have done to show the Russians that these missile defense interceptors could not be used for offensive missiles and potentially find some trade space there. And we didn't use it. And that's why we're in the situation we are today, where we're, you know, potentially looking at a replay of a Cold War era arms race on the European continent and beyond.
So just so people better understand what we're talking about here, what the INF treaty eliminated was nuclear and conventional ground launch ballistic and cruise missiles that had ranges between 500 and 5,500 kilometers. You can take 60% of that if you want to convert it to miles. So what we were really talking about here is relatively short ballistic missiles. The problem with relatively short ballistic missiles is that they hit their target extremely quickly, well before you can react to it. Is that the case?
That's exactly it. It seems very specific that we would have gone after this one particular type of asset when we had all of these nuclear weapons and conventional missiles in Europe at the time. But the reason we went after this particular type of missile is because they're hard to track and they do present that short warning attack threat on capitals, both Moscow and capitals in Europe. So we decided that that was the most destabilizing nuclear and conventional weapon we had at the time in the Cold War. So we took that off the table first, and then built from there to capturing larger strategic weapons in the START Treaty and then subsequently the new START Treaty.
Right. So if you're just joining us, let me just fill you in. We're talking with Alex Bell. She is the Senior Policy Director at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. And we are discussing the impact of, although that's a touchy word to use when you're talking about missiles, the results of the fact that our longstanding INF treaty with Russia, our short-range missile treaty, is now over as of Friday. Now, when you look at what this can mean, and we'll get into what we can expect going forward, traditionally, these kinds of missiles, Alex, I believe were placed pretty much in Europe on our behalf. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
So how does this affect the security both in Europe and the United States?
So the problem is Europe, back during the Cold War, was very sort of seized of this issue of these short-range missiles in Europe, and there was a lot of public pushback politically and among everyday citizens. Now there's so many problems. This particular issue is sort of at the background. People are thinking about, you know, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and Russian, you know, interference in elections and on and on and on. This missile threat is sort of not been on the front page of papers in a while, but unfortunately now it will be. The United States is already talking about testing potential systems, talking, you know, possibly about putting conventional missiles of this range back into Europe. The Secretary of Defense recently said we're also considering putting them in Asia, which I don't think the Chinese government will be particularly pleased about. And I don't know, I mean, I assume most folks have looked at a map, but the Pacific theater is mostly ocean. You know, the idea that we need this one particular type of ground-launched asset in the Pacific theater sort of defies logic.
So what the heck are they doing? I mean, what advantage is there? I mean, let's separate them. You clearly make the point that it's hard to understand an advantage of putting short-range missiles into Asia. But now I look at even Europe and I go, all right, conventional missiles in Europe, what is that going to accomplish given the realities of modern warfare?
Mm-hmm. We already have assets, and we put in countermeasures to deal with the Russian deployment of this INF-violating missile that they've had for some time now. And I can't think of a single country in Europe that's going to raise their hand to base these intermediate-range missiles that we're talking about putting back into the European theater. And even if you could find one, I don't think you would have consensus among NATO allies that this is the right move. Unfortunately, there seems to be a strong drive in this administration that there is a missile for every problem. And what we really need to do right now is sit down with the Russians and talk with them, not at them, about what our short-term plans here are, about are we going to produce these missiles en masse? Are we going to deploy them in Europe? What are the Russian plans for their systems? That transparency effort can, you know, potentially help us open up a conversation about where we go from here and how we don't just replay the same kind of dumb moves we made during the Cold War that, you know, decrease security for all of us.
It's really quite remarkable. If you're just joining this conversation, we're speaking with Alex Bell, Senior Policy Director at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, an organization that it sounds like is about to become much more important and to the front.
There's a lot of job security right
now. Than it's been in a long time. You know, I mean, we always ask the question as we come upon election years, are we better off than we were 4 years ago? And we always tend to answer that question economically. You know, I look around the world and I go, my goodness, we're not even better off than we were 50 years ago. It's astounding. Now, in the meantime, you know, there is a new round of nuclear weapons competition that seems to be underway. You've got technology now being applied to it. You've got what's happening with the U.S. and Russia. You got China's military modernization. And all of that is a backdrop for the development of new nuclear weapons. Of course, North Korea is expanding its nuclear capabilities. We are concerned about Iran with nuclear. Are we not going backwards?
we're definitely not in a good place right now. We're seeing nuclear threats on the rise throughout the world. And unfortunately, this administration has been sort of helping to dismantle the arms control and non-proliferation structures that
why
we've spent
do they
the last
do
50
that? What,
years building.
What are we missing? Why does this administration want to do that? Is it for the benefit of defense contractors? Is it an honest belief that this is the way to go forward in the world? What am I missing about why they would do that?
I would not be so bold as to understand the inner workings of the president's mind, but in the case of Iran, I think he very much thought that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with Iran was a bad deal. I don't think there was a lot of substance behind that thought, but it was something, an idea he was very committed to. And when he dropped out of that agreement against the advice of his own advisors and all of our allies, I think he had it, you know, in his mind that he could get a better deal. We've seen, you know, no sort of action in that direction. In fact, the situation with Iran has gotten worse. With North Korea, he has a very unorthodox approach to dealing with the North Korean nuclear threat.
That was a nice way to put it.
But, in my mind, now that he decided to open up this relationship with Kim Jong-un, well, then fine, let's make something of it. Let's get something out of this.
I got to wrap it up, Alex, because I'm out of time. But I have a feeling you're going to be back sooner than I like.
Always happy to help.
Alexandra Bell, Senior Policy Director at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Thank you, Alex. And we will continue with the Rick Unger program right after this.
Get rational. Call 833-711-7425. 833-711-RICK.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-582-7585.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-582-7585. That's 1-800-582-7585.
Come on, kids. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's ETHOS. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.